Perek Vav, Mishnah Vav. Okay, so here we are. We're talking about, if you recall, in this perek, we're talking about tuma that is inside of a wall. So we had the outside wall we were talking about, and the question of whether we go according to mechtz al mechtza, if there's a din, if it's directly in the middle, or if it's only going to be divided between within or without, and also the shita that holds that the entire wall is always considered to be the makom of the kezias min hames. Then we moved on to talking about a wall that's inside of the house, meaning that it separates two rooms of the house, or it separates two houses, same idea. So we said that there it would be mitame, the house to which it is closest to. So if the tuma is closer to the house on the right, it's mitame, it's considered to be in the wall of that house, and therefore in the room of that house. If it's to the left, then it's considered to be in that room. Now, this is all true when we're talking about a house where we built the house up and we made it a wall. But how about if you have a bayit hamishamesh et hakotel? Remember that the opening words to this sugya before was a kotel that's mishamesh es habayit. That means that we built a wall in order to make the house on the other side of it have a wall. How about if it's the other way around? How about if the house makes the wall instead of the wall making the house? What does that mean? Well, it obviously means you dug out an underground home on two sides, in which case the middle part is a wall. So now the house has made the wall. The wall didn't make the house, right? Okay, so this means basically it's a natural situation where you dug out on either side, and that gives you a wall in between. So then in this case, we do not split the wall between the houses because the wall's relationship to the houses here is entirely different than the wall that we built for the houses' relationship to the houses, where over there it's part of the house, but here it's not. And therefore, we should look at this wall as if we're talking about kiklipat hashum. It's just an impossibly thin wall. There's no way to split it into two parts like we did in the earlier Mishnah. It's its own makom. And as long as the kezias min hamet is not actually open to the right or to the left chambers that were dug out, so then it doesn't matter. Even if it's just got like a garlic peel thick, a klipas hashum thick piece of earth that's still there between the kezias min hamet and the house to either side, it's tahar. And if there's a klipas hashum on both sides are tahar. Because this is a completely different halacha. It's not considered to be in the house. It's its own place. So let me explain. Ketza. So you've got an area, a kotel between two kuchin. Remember that the kuchin are these burial indentations that are made in the inside of a burial cave. And they would make a lot, anybody who's come visited Beit Shearim or any places like that, or Sanhedria in Eretz Yisrael, it's very easy to see the Derech of Kvura in Kuchin. And the way that the Kuchin were made was by digging out indentations into the rock of the wall. So then that would be a kotel that is made by the Kuchin and not the Kuchin made by the kotel. So we've got the kotel Shebein Shnei Kuchin, or for that matter, between two actual caves, where they use the cave as a burial cave, Shtei Ma'arot. So then the halacha is, if there is tuma, so let's say you have a mace that's in the batim. The batim in this case would be in the cave or in the kuch, that's in the wall of the cave. So if there's tuma in the cave and you have kalim that are inside of the wall between the houses and there's just a tiny little bit of dirt or stone in front of the kalim that separate the kalim from either side, all those kalim are tahar because that wall is not part of the kuch, is not part of the ma'ara. So as long as there's a klipat hashum, it would be tahar. How about the other way around? How about if you have tuma in the area between the kuchin and in the kuchin are kalim, and there too, there's Leah on top of the tuma, the kezias min hamet, let's say, there is a klipas hashum. The halacha is, all of those kelim are tahar, because the mace is not considered to be in a wall built for the house. It's actually in its own particular area. If anything, the house was built for the wall and not vice versa. So therefore, in both directions, the tumah would not go into to make the kelim tameh or come out of to make the kelim tameh when the kelim were inside the kuch. Okay, now how about if you have, which is very common, you've got a pillar in the middle of all of this that's holding up the roof, and you're, once again, you're in a burial cave, but in the middle, it's very, very common. In the middle of that cave, you have an area that is still on the ground, and you didn't dig out the whole thing to give it some strength. So if you have tumah buried underneath that amud, there's less than a tefach in the area where it's buried. In other words, you didn't make like a little ohel for it. Then it's a standard situation, which is called tuma bokat viola, bokat vioret. So that is tuma ritsutsa, because it's inside of an area that is less than a tefach ala tefach, and therefore the tuma goes straight up and straight down in direct radiation and is not going to be matami anything to the sot at all. Continues Mishnah Zayin. How about if this is a very fancy type of pillar and it's got a flower on top? All of you are familiar with the pretty pillars that you see all over Eretz Yisrael, where the Torah, Greece, Lahavdil, where the pillar doesn't go straight up and down. It branches out into a pretty flower kind of device or some other decorative device when it gets up to the ceiling. So suppose you have that over here inside of this cave. And now you've got kelim that are underneath the flower, so to speak, or that flowery piece on the top of the pillar. So then the halacha is there is no tumah that can accrue to those kelim just because they're underneath a part of the pillar by the simple virtue of the fact that tumah ritsutsa is like radiation. It goes straight through that pillar like a neutrino and does not go anywhere to the side. And how would it get from there to go down to the kelim that are underneath the so-called ohel that's being created by the pillar, if the pillar itself is not the bearer of the tumah? The pillar itself is basically something that is being penetrated directly by the tumah neutrinos. So therefore, there would be no tumah in the kelim. Now, surprisingly, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is metame the kelim that are underneath the flower, because he says that when you're using a material that is the way that the neutrinos are penetrating by the virtue of the fact that it is the material directly on top, then that thing is considered to be tame, which is tremendous chiddush. All of the mefarshim try to make sense of it. Nobody has a very good shot in Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri over here, because how in the world does the pillar even get involved here? But this is what he says. Therefore, the entire pillar, including its extensions, which are the perach, would be able to radiate tuma up or down. And therefore, what we have over here is a strange type of neutrino radiator. I don't know how it works, and I can't claim to understand Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. I mean, everybody tries to talk about it, but I don't find anything persuasive. Okay, how about if both the tuma and the kelim are under the flower? Okay, so then we're dealing with the standard situation of an oil on mace. So, im yesham poteach tefach, then it depends. If you've got an area of a poteach tefach under the flower, which is now being mile over the maize, so then, of course, the kelim are tummy. But if not, it's tar. That for sure. Okay, now getting back to the din of a kezias min maize in a house. We've been talking up until now, we moved into an area which was a natural wall. Moving back into a non-natural wall. So the question over here is, very often, wall is made thick enough that you can put a closet into the wall, right? It's very, very common. So suppose you built two closets or cabinets, one on top of the other. You built them into the wall, so you're using the wall space essentially as your closet, and you put a door on it, and then you've got shelves. So you've got shelves with a door on top, and shelves with a door on the bottom, and the wall itself. The wall space is the space of the closet. And those are called pardiskim. So you've got shnei pardiskim, zebitzadze v'zalgabeze. So suppose you have these two closets or cabinets made one on top of the other. And the halacha is like this. If you've got a kizayis min hames that's underneath one of these closets. So we're talking about the kind of walls you have in Eretz Yisrael with these very thick walls. And it's very common. We have one in the base of Medrash, actually, in the Old City. Very common that you build a closet into the space in the wall. And in this case, you have a kizayis min hames underneath the closet. So then, if the door to the closet, niftach echad mihem, if the door to the closet that is right above the mace is open, then the closet was penetrated by the mace because it was tuma ritzutza. Now that tuma hit the top of the closet. That meant that it's now contained within the closet. If you open up the door to the closet, then the tuma goes out of the closet into the house because the door is bigger than a tefach, and that's always that rule. But then the upper closet is not going to become tummy. Because the moment the tumah ritzutza hit the roof of the lower closet, it stopped. It was no longer ritzutza. It was in a container. The container being the closet. So therefore, if the one, echad meyam, the one closest to the tumah, has an open door, then in that particular cabinet and the house is tummy because it got through the door. But the other one that is not directly above the mace, there's no way that it's going to become mitameh. Furthermore, if till I open up the door into the house, the tuma in the house is not going to be able to come into the closet through the door. So there's no place for the closet that is not directly above the mace to be mekabel tuma as long as I keep the door shut. Now, what about if both of the closets are shut? The doors are shut. So now, if they're both shut, ro'im et apardiskin ki'ilu hu otem. And therefore, we view these closets as if they're not closets, if the door is shut, and then we view it as part of the wall, and then yidun mechza lemechza la'vi et atum alabayit. So then we would treat it as an outside wall. It happens to be that the outside wall has an internal space that was evacuated because the doors are shut. So we don't look at it as if it's a real open into the house. An evacuated internal space is irrelevant as long as the mace itself is within an area that does not have a pesach tefach. And in that case, how do we define whether the house is tameh? By looking at whether it's within the mechza closest to the house or whether it's within the mechza to the outside of the house. So we treat it exactly the way we do a wall on the outside of a house. It only becomes complex when there's a door that could be open for one of the closets, then it separates itself from the wall. Now, this leads us to Sir Richard. Hadran alach, Adam v'chelim.